Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke chapter 15, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You find the reading on page 1048 of the Pew Bibles. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered round to hear him, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners. He eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have lost my coin, but it has been found." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you come in the abundant power of your Holy Spirit, that you sweep through this building, changing all our hearts and minds, that we may grow into the likeness of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we have in Luke's Gospel two parables coming at us, but they're coming out of a contentious moment. We remember from our Sunday school days that a parable is the earthly story with the heavenly meaning. And in order to fully understand what Jesus is saying to us, we need to look at it in that way. What is it saying to us here on earth? But what is it also meaning about what heaven is going to be like? And if I was to sum up these two parables, I would sum them up as it being God's relentless love being displayed to us as he invites us to come home to him. The context set by Luke is that Jesus had been teaching to people. He had been telling of the cost of being a disciple, and he had been using other parables as Luke is so familiar with. He is saying to his disciples that in order to follow him, they must be willing to deny everything within their own lives, to give up everything in order to be a faithful and true disciple. The tax collectors wanted to hear more about it. The sinners wanted to hear more about it. I always think it's quite fascinating how Luke puts the tax collectors and sinners together. For those that are involved in accountancy, I'm sorry about that, but that's just where you fit in. But these people needed to hear truth. And they were hungry to hear more. An indicator of a growing church is a church that proclaims truth. We have itchy ears, and we like to hear what we need to hear, not necessarily what we want to hear, even though it makes us uncomfortable at times. And they gathered to hear this message that Jesus was proclaiming. But it didn't come without its opposition. Because we are told that there were, in verse 2, that there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, Sadducees, the whole lot of them were gathered together, and they were muttering to each other. They were ridiculing Jesus. They were saying to him, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." Jesus was crossing a line. He was going from what would be the norm in the Jewish tradition to actually reaching out. He was being extremely missional. And that's why I put an emphasis on Back to Church Sunday. Because we need to be missional if we're going to grow as a church and see God's kingdom growing on earth. And to counteract what they're saying, Jesus gives them parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep. And we have the parable of the lost coin coming at us, one directly after the other. And it is the first that I want to focus on this morning, but keeping in mind the realities of the latter. Every single one of us has lost something at some time or another. When I was younger, and maybe not so young, I would occasionally misplace things. I'm a wee bit of a dunderhead, really, when it comes to that. And more often than not, when I lived at home, I would have gone to Mum after having had a quick scan and said, "Mum, do you know where I put..." Or more to the point, it would have been, "Mum, have you moved? Because it's not where I left it." Till which I would hear the reply, more often than not, "Whistle, and it'll jump out at you." And as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, my mother would have gone to wherever it was that she knew it was at and pulled it out straight away. I always knew she moved the things. Perhaps you've had that experience. You've heard a lot about Peru, and you're going to hear a lot more about Peru over the next year as we prepare to go next summer. And my Peru stole, I'm wearing it this morning just because I fancy to being colourful. But coming home from Peru, we lost something. Every one of us lost something that was extremely important to us. We lost our suitcases. And there we were, standing at the turn, the collection point where the suitcases turn around in front of you, standing for ages. Ruth, Elaine, Emma, myself, and Noel, all standing there, and our cases didn't come. And then you join the queue that seems to go on forever of all these other people that has lost their cases. And as I'm standing there waiting in the queue, and when you have to wait for answers, sometimes the problems escalate in your mind. And I'm thinking, all my clothes are in those cases. All the gifts that I've brought home to my family are in those cases. The gifts that were given to me and to us as a church are in those cases. Oh dear, what if they never turn up? And yet the person behind the till was doing a bit like my mother and saying, "It's all right, we'll find it." And no doubt they were sitting on a rack somewhere on a shelf with hundreds of other cases that had been lost across America at that particular moment in time. And eventually, that which was lost turned up. It was found. 2 days later, I was never as glad to see a white van pulling in at my front door. And out come the cases. My nephews were there at that moment, and they near broke the padlocks to get into the cases. The washing machine not so keen. In our lives, do we ever feel like we're lost? Do you ever feel that feeling of desperation and panic? Because there are so many directions in our life. We feel lost, we feel confused, we feel unsure, we're unclear of the decisions that we have to make, we're perplexed, we're disorientated, we're bewildered. From this morning's parables, we can learn an awful lot from Jesus. Things that we need to apply to our own lives. In the parable of the lost sheep, we hear of how that the shepherd had 100 sheep. I'm sure that's a pretty good flock in Jesus' day. And one of them went missing. And rather than counting his losses and taking the 99 and making sure they were safe, we're told he left them and he went and searched for the one that was lost. We're also told of a lady who has 10 coins. She loses one of them. And rather than looking at her hand and being thankful for the 9 that's left, she searches for the one that has gone missing. And we're told that she's not content until she finds it. She goes to extreme lengths. But in response to it, when the sheep is found, and when the coin is found, Both times Luke tells us, in verse 7 and in verse 10, there's great rejoicing in heaven. There's great rejoicing in heaven when we apply the spiritual meaning to these parables. And so I think we learn three things. First of all, we learn that Jesus searches. He searches for us. He's continually looking for us. And he wants us to look for him. He is not content with a church with 100 people when there's actually should be 101. He wants to search for the one that's still outside and needs to come in. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we see exactly why Jesus searches. For he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That was the purpose of Jesus' mission on earth. That's why he came, summed up in one little verse. He came to seek and to save. I'm pretty sure he talked about something along these lines about a doctor. That if you're sick, you need to go to the doctor. But if you're not sick, you don't need to go to the doctor. And so he came for those that need the doctor. I paraphrase greatly there, but that's what he means. He came to seek and to search for each and every one of us. But are we willing to let him find us? Firstly, Jesus searches. Secondly, Jesus finds. If we are willing to open up our lives to him, he will find us. In fact, he already has, and he's standing just waiting on us saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm yours." In John chapter 6 and verse 39, we read these words, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." For us, there is a promise, comes direct from heaven, direct from God the Father himself through the Son, that if we find Jesus and allow him to find us, he'll never lose us. He'll hold on tight to us. He will watch us daily. He will guide us daily. He will uplift us daily. He will lead us daily if we allow him to do it. But we have to allow him to do it. And then thirdly, firstly, Jesus searches. Secondly, Jesus finds. And thirdly, Jesus carries. I love the image that some of you will be able to see on the screen of Jesus carrying the lamb on his shoulders. I think this is an amazing image of the care that he has for each of us. It reminds me of that poem, Footprints in the Sand, and how that when we struggle through life, Jesus actually picks us up and carries us. And all the other sheep are still gathered round. Those of you who are shepherds in the congregation will know far better than I what it's like to have flocks of sheep. But you will know this, that if you want the sheep to follow, you lift the lamb. And the sheep will follow the lamb. I had the honor, you could call it, the privilege of watching a few lambs be born since I came here to Strabane. And I remember in particularly last year being up at Leslie's farm. I needed him to sign a form or something. I was there and he was lambing his sheep. And they needed the mother, the ewe, to follow down to the maternity wing. Would that be the want of the better word? And in order to do so, Leslie said to Jonathan, "Take that ewe down to that shed." And in order for the ewe to go, Jonathan lifted the lamb. You know, folks, Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross for each and every one of us. And he is described by John as the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. And God lifted him up, exalted him, and has placed him at his right hand in the hope that we'll follow him. That we as sheep will follow the Lamb. And Jesus carries us. And he says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's wanting to lift us and to carry us over life's hurdles. For you and for me, that's relentless love. That is the love of God being shown and poured out upon each of us. He's urging us. He's pleading with us. He's saying, I'm seeking for you. Let me find you. But don't only let me find you. Let me carry you. Let me bring you through. And Luke goes on to tell us that whenever the lost sheep was found, and the lost coin was found, there was rejoicing with the shepherd, there was rejoicing with the woman. They threw parties, they were delighted. And so it is in heaven when we find Jesus and allow him find us. There is rejoicing in heaven. There is a party going on right now in heaven over one person that comes to Jesus. That's why it's so important, folks, that we are a missional church and that we extend the invitation. Because as we say in the old prayer book and the old absolution in morning prayer and evening prayer one, quoted from Scripture, that God desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn and live. He's inviting each of us to come home. He's saying to each of us, lose the tag of being lost and actually attach the tag of being found. He loves you with an unending love. He searches for you. He wants to find you. And he longs to carry you. Let's pray together. Let us bow our heads. This morning, you know Jesus is searching for you and you've never let him find you. Well, why not just do it today? Why not just say, Lord Jesus, I'm here and I'm ready to be found? Or perhaps you made that decision long ago to follow Jesus, but you just need him to carry you for a while. Just say to him, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you to carry me. And the promise of that, folks, is that he will. Because he loves you. With an unending, unconditional love. Just cry out in your hearts, quietly in your hearts, Lord, I'm here. Father, we thank you for all that you've given to us, but most especially for the gift of your Son. For how that he died on a cross to save each and every one of us. For how he searches for us daily. For how he longs to find us and us to find him. And for how he longs to carry us so that we need not be weighed down by the things that life throw at us. Father, continue to speak deep into our hearts. Continue to minister to each of us. And may we be refreshed by you every moment of every day. And may we rejoice with all the company of heaven whenever someone comes to you. For it's in your name we pray and ask these things. Amen.